Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will be on listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's call. At that time, it will be star followed by the number 1 to ask a question. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. I'd now like to introduce Fin Zhao. Ma'am, you may begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the webinar today. My name is Fin Zhao. I am a program coordinator in the Computer and Information Sciences and Engineering Directorate in the Division of Computer Network Systems. Today, I'll be giving you some background on the BD Hubs and Spokes program and the 2017 BD Spokes solicitation. Before we start, I want to make sure to acknowledge the whole team here at NSF that has been working on the BD Hubs program here in the NSF Science Directorate, and that includes Chaitin Barrow, Sylvia Spengler, Ken Wong, Deborah Shands, Joanna Chan, Stephanie Rodriguez, Gabriel Perez-Giz, and Elena Zelva. I also want to thank my co-program officers in the other directorates, Ernestine Salmons from our Education and Human Resources Directorate, Cheryl Evey from our Social Behavior and Economics Directorate, Min Ha from the Directorate for Math and Physical Sciences, and Sita Bogaseyan from the Office of International Science and Engineering. The agenda for our webinar today is threefold. I'll start by running through some of the historical timeline and background surrounding the BD Hubs and Spokes program, setting some context on where this program sits within the broader NSF and SIES efforts, as well as the interaction between established BD Hubs and the new BD Spokes to be funded. Second, I'll try to explain some of the overall strategy and motivations behind this BD Spokes program and the major themes and topic areas of interest in NSF. The thrust behind the BD Spokes solicitation is accelerating big data applications, which is topically very large in scope. The thematic areas articulated in the solicitation help guide the proposer to understand the dimensions where NSF feels innovation in big data can make the most impact. Finally, I will discuss some of the logistical details related to the proposal and review process for the 2017 BD Spokes solicitation. The BD Spokes Hubs and Spokes program comprise just one component of a broader big data portfolio of programs that NSF funds. Here at NSF, we have a four-part framework on how we think about big data research. One area is the foundational research that's needed, where at NSF, it's primarily supported by the critical techniques and technology for the big data program, often just called big data in all caps. We also think about supporting infrastructure design and development, which is supported by programs like the Data Infrastructure Building Blocks, or DIBS program. We also fund education in big data through multiple programs, including, in the past, the National Research Traineeship. Finally, on the spectrum of partnerships and engagement quadrants in the portfolio, we have the BD Spokes and Hubs program. So as you listen to this webinar, you may find that the unique nature of the BD Spokes solicitation isn't a good fit for the project you have in mind. I encourage you to take a look at the other programs we mentioned today and to reach out to those program officers. BD Spokes solicitation are part of the Big Data Regional Innovation Hubs program, also known as BD Hubs. The BD Hubs program was launched in March of 2015 with a call to develop four big data hubs around the country. NSF held four regional charrettes gathering stakeholders from each region who collaborated to submit a single BD Hub proposal to NSF in June of 2015. In September 2015, NSF announced four awards to establish four regional hubs for data science innovation. I will have more information about BD Hubs in later slides. The BD Spokes solicitation kicked off the second phase of the BD Hubs program. The first solicitation was released in November of 2015, and $12 million was awarded. In March of 2017, we released the second BD Spokes solicitation, the basis of this webinar. So this slide shows the awards made by the first BD Spokes solicitation. We funded a wide variety of projects that align with the regional priorities, for example, transportation, manufacturing, health, or environmental agriculture and education. There were 11 spoke grants and 10 planning grants awarded. More information about individual spokes can be found on the corresponding BD Hub's website or the NSF Awards database. More about the BD Hubs themselves. These consortia are coordinated by top data scientists at Columbia University for the Northeast Hub, Georgia Institute of Technology and the University of North Carolina for the South Hub, the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign for the Midwest Hub, and the University of California San Diego, the University of California Berkeley, and the University of Washington for the West Hub. Covering all 50 states, they include commitments from more than 250 organizations, from universities to cities to foundations and Fortune 500 corporations, with the ability to expand further over time. The organizational structure for each BD Hub varies by region. Some are organized into standing subcommittees and task forces, others into more flexible working groups. You can see on this map, not only the BD Hub coordinators, but the organizations leading the subcommittees and subdivisions of each hub. Now let's turn to specifics of the 2017 BD Spoke solicitation. BD Spoke proposals must articulate a clear focus within a specific big data topic or application area while highlighting their big data innovation theme. All BD Spokes must have a clearly defined mission statement with goals and corresponding metrics of success. Some templates illustrate the specificity and level of details that we need for missions. Here are some ideas. Perhaps using a specific set of analytic tools to improve the lead time for predictions of a certain critical regional indicator by some given percentage. Or given a specific set of high-value data sets that were previously siloed and therefore usable only within a single research group or institution, making them available to a broader set of groups or to the public at large with appropriate privacy and access control mechanisms. Adapt specific big data technologies to automate previously tedious and manual data collection and curation processes for specific types of data in a given field of science. For a specific genre of data, introduce new types of automated analytics, which were previously tedious to perform in manual nature, that can be performed with minimal human intervention. These spokes can initiate a lot of different kinds of activities in support of their mission goals. The BD Spoke's role is meant to convene stakeholders to augment and spawn new research efforts, as opposed to directly carrying out the traditional research themselves. Potential activities for BD Spokes include, for example, accelerating the creation and development of big data solutions relevant to its mission by convening stakeholders across sectors, academic, industry, nonprofit, to partner in results-driven projects and programs, driving successful pilot programs by acting as a matchmaker between the various academic, industry, and community stakeholders, engaging stakeholders across the region, including solution providers and end users, to enable dialogue, share best practices, set standards for data access, data formats, metadata, or perhaps connecting critical data resources to stakeholders that can best utilize them to fulfill the BD Spoke's mission. I've given you a whole bunch of examples, but these are just a taste of some of the things that we're thinking about. You're not beholden to these explicit examples. Note that the BD Spoke's funding from the solicitation is not intended to primarily support research activities. Rather, the goal of the program is to enhance and amplify collaborative efforts focused on achieving specific mission-based goals. For specific program questions about the appropriateness of the activity you have in mind for BD Spoke, please reach out to me. Similar to the first BD Spoke solicitation, the activities of a 2017 BD Spoke proposal should also address one or more of the following big data innovation themes. One is accelerating progress towards a societal grand challenge relevant to regional and national priority areas. Two is helping to automate the big data lifecycle. Three is enabling access and increasing the use of important and valuable available data assets, also including international data sets where relevant. Note that this list is not MISI, mutually exclusive or collectively exhaustive. These are simply a few critical dimensions that we find to be priorities in accelerating innovation in big data. Any proposal may touch on one or more than one of these themes. There may also be big data proposals that make an important impact in data innovation in a way that this framework does not capture. However, for this competition, those projects would not be a good fit. theme is accelerating progress towards societal brand challenges relevant to regional and national priority areas. Due to the pervasiveness of big data in virtually all national priority areas, the BD spokes have an opportunity to bring rapid change in applications area by facilitating the creation of interdisciplinary and multidisciplinary data-intensive teams. Such areas broadly include healthcare, climate change, urban sciences, and many more. These grand challenges may have widespread global implications, but be of specific interest to the region. For example, the South Hub has articulated an interest in the region on coastal hazards, particularly of the Gulf Coast. While projects on coastal hazards have global implications, the immediate output is also of interest to stakeholders in that region. The second theme is helping to automate the big data lifecycle. Managing the end-to-end lifecycle of big data assets can be a tedious and manual task. Steps in the data lifecycle include ingestion, validation, curation, quality assessment, anonymization, publication, active data management and analysis, and that includes information extraction, visualization, annotation. Automated or semi-automated techniques are needed in order to keep up with the rapid data rates, large volumes, and immense heterogeneity of big data. Automation may also aid in the reproducibility of data processing and analysis workflows. The data challenges and lessons learned by a BD spoke on such automation efforts are expected to be shared with BD spoke stakeholders, as well as more broadly across the network of BD hubs and spokes. The third theme is enabling access to and increasing the use of important and valuable available data assets, also including international data sets. Many valuable data sets are underutilized, and results from the analysis of data are not shared due to a variety of actual perceived costs, including the cost of curation, the cost of data reuse, attribution, and intellectual property considerations. One of the desirable roles for a BD spoke is as a catalyst for organizing and sharing data sets and related data services among a larger set of stakeholders across interdisciplinary areas, within the geographic region, or across the national community. Such BD spokes are expected to play an important role in supporting and promulgating open data and open source software policies within their projects. At the hub level, across spokes, to further facilitate the sharing of data and the outcome of analyses. Broadly, for projects suggesting any of these three themes, NSF recognizes that big data are global due to the way that they're collected and analyzed, and hence encourages international collaborations that will enhance the capacity and capabilities of the BD Hub and Spokes. The solicitation was posted as NSF document 17546, and it mentions two types of awards, medium and small. The medium grants range from $500,000 to $1 million in size, while the small grant is for proposals between $100,000 and $500,000 in size. Both can be for up to 3 years as an award period. We anticipate a total funding amount for about $10 million in total for the program. This would come to approximately 10 to 20 awards. Distribution would depend on the quality and volume of proposals within these categories. The full proposal deadline is September 18, 2017, 5 p.m. proposals local time. No letter of intent is required. This is different than the last solicitation. However, the proposer must have communicated with their collaborating hub and obtained a letter of collaboration. For medium proposals, which range from the $500K to $1 million range, you must be able to, as the proposer, articulate tangible outcomes. Here are some examples of what we mean by tangible outcomes. For example, explicit results from a data-enabled or data-facilitated inquiry in a scientific or engineering field or other domain area, including social science and educational research. It must explicitly define the field or domain-specific questions addressed and which specific researchers would be conducting the research to answer these questions in your proposal. It could be a prototype or proof of concept for a technology platform, a data product, data standards, or some other data infrastructure. For education workforce, it could be an innovative education or workforce development program with a plan for evaluating the effectiveness of the program. The program would be virtual, classroom, or workplace-based and should engage underrepresented groups. Proposed BD Spoke projects are expected to focus on their articulated regional challenges and opportunities. In addition, NSF has a working group of program officers from a number of directorates and cross-agency programs that are interested in soliciting additional proposals from the Big Data community that addresses some of their interests and priority areas. This includes neuroscience, to engage in questions and opportunities in neuroscience that leverage BD Hub resources, such as enabling large-scale integrative modeling, sharing of diverse data resources, and other neuroscience and neurotechnology approaches that require very large-scale, complex, or diverse data. Connections to other NSF programs on neuroscience research are welcome. This also includes replicability and reproducibility in data sciences, including the facilitation of robust and reliable science by improving the replicability and reproducibility of research instruments, procedures, codes, and results. Data-driven research in chemistry is another area of emphasis. In this, we want to encourage innovative partnerships that capitalize on the data revolution and utilize delivery-based science to verify scientific predictions and insights in chemistry. This area of emphasis looks for formation of new alliances to accelerate the discovery of new chemical species, predicted properties, or new chemical reactions using approaches such as large-scale data analysis, data architectures, or machine learning. Proposed topics must be in alignment with the core research programs within the Division of Chemistry. Another area of emphasis is education. For example, supporting innovations in software infrastructure and the use of education and learning data sets arising from both administrative data and information collected from interactive learning systems to improve learning outcomes. Projects could also propose to develop innovative education and or workforce development training programs that will both broaden participation in big data research and development activities and enable a workforce for the 21st century. Workforce and training activities will be evaluated based on their innovativeness and their ability to be replicated in new environments. Another area of emphasis is data-intensive research in the social, behavioral, and economic sciences, where we want to accelerate research infrastructure and frameworks that integrate and operate on data from multiple sources, including administrative data, scientific instruments from large-scale surveys, brain research, large-scale simulations, digital authored media, and text, images, audios, emails, streaming data from web blogs, videos, or financial and commercial transactions. Finally, we have the area of emphasis of data and analytics for security, which focuses on better analytics and detection of security and privacy-related patterns, anomalies, trends, and changes in big data spoke applications or regional data exchanges, development of statistical, computational, or interdisciplinary methods for improving big data BD spoke security, privacy, and trustworthiness through the management, exploration, and analytics, mining, and visualization of structured and unstructured data from disparate sources. The review process for the solicitation will be by the standard NSF merit review process with a panel and additional ad hoc reviews. As this is a unique solicitation, reviewers will also address a few additional review criteria. For example, the degree to which the proposed BD Spoke will need the support and infrastructure of the BD Hub to carry out its mission, how well it will effectively coordinate its corresponding regional BD Hub and augment the capacity of the existing network of BD Hubs and Spokes, how it will contribute to the education and training plan of the regional BD Hub, including its efforts to educate and train not only the big data workforce, but also related external groups such as end users, students, or managers, and explicitly for medium proposals, whether it has a feasible set of outcomes that can be delivered given the activities planned. To best help a proposal address these criteria, there are a series of mandated sections in the proposal preparation section of the solicitation. I won't go into details for them on screen because they're different for full medium proposals and small proposals, but please take a look. Proposals can be submitted by a wide number of organizations such as universities, colleges, nonprofits, state and local governments. NSF welcomes collaborative proposals from for-profit institutions and FFRDCs, federally funded research centers, as well. But those organizations can only be sub-awardees and not the primary awardee. An individual can serve as the PI or co-PI in most one submission, but may participate as senior personnel in multiple proposals. An institution can only submit one proposal as the lead to this competition across both categories of medium and small. That's a combination of the categories of medium and small, one proposal. Please make sure you request a letter of collaboration from a hub in advance and work closely with your grant office to make sure that you abide by the limited competition rules. So, to become a spoke, potential PIs need to coordinate with a big data hub to make sure that they align with broader interests in the regions and by its big data stakeholders. The regional big data hub steering committee will provide general guidance to big data spokes and assist them with coordinating with the national big data hub network, other big data spokes, and the broader innovation ecosystem. We leave it to the spoke and the hub to articulate in the proposal and the corresponding letter of collaboration the details of how the spoke and the hub will interact on a logistical day-to-day level and the details of how that collaboration will move forward. As such, all proposals to the solicitation must include a letter of collaboration from the BD Hub's coordinating institution. Any proposals not including a letter of collaboration from the BD Hub coordinating institution will be returned without review. No exceptions will be made. In addition, each hub has its own guidelines on how one can request this letter of collaboration. Since each hub has a distinct process for communicating with parties interested in submitting a BD spoke proposals, guidelines to each hub specifics can be found on the link from the slide. The deadline for requesting a letter of collaboration from the hubs is June 19th. This deadline is set to enable the hubs to move efficiently forward in helping you prepare your proposals. Please take a look as soon as possible, given the level of interest and timeline. A key objective of the Big Data Hub and Spokes program is to build partnerships. Therefore, if your proposal expands or augments a topic that is previously funded by the BD Spokes program, the project team should coordinate in advance with those of awarded BD Spokes programs. In this case, a letter of collaboration from a current BD Spoke on the same topic as your proposal is encouraged. For example, if you propose a small medium project that is substantially similar to that of a previously funded BD spoke, even if the activity will take place in a different BD hub region, the proposal must justify the need to fund the new activity. For example, the proposal can explain how the new activity might expand or augment the previous funded activities, or perhaps differentiate itself from those other activities. So, I think it's helpful to summarize some of the key differences between the 2016 and 2017 BD spoke solicitations, particularly for those who have written proposals in the past. The 2017 solicitation calls for small and medium proposals rather than the spokes and planning grant sizes. The medium proposal is the same size as the typical, what we call the spoke proposal in the past. We anticipate to fund 10 to 20 awards totaling $10 million. The full proposal deadline is September 18, 2017. This year, a letter of intent is not required for the 2017 BD spoke solicitation submission. However, the BD hubs themselves require you to connect with them by June 19th via an online form. The 2017 solicitation is a limited competition, as I mentioned earlier. And finally, explicit description of tangible outcomes are expected in the proposals for medium projects. So, both NSF and the Big Data Hubs are excited to see what your ideas are this year for Big Data Spokes. This is my contact information online, Fen Zhao, 703-292-7344. Please feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions. These are the ends of my slides, and I'd love to open up the line and take some questions from those in the audience.
And thank you. At this time, to ask a question from the phone line, it is star followed by the number 1. Please unmute your line and record your name clearly as prompted. And to withdraw the question, it is star 2. Again, with phone line questions, please press star followed by the number 1.
And while we're waiting for questions, I want to say to everybody that the script from today's webinar will be made available on the webinar's event page, and the presentation slides will also be posted a little bit later in the coming days.
And thank you. Our first question comes from John Helly. Sir, your line's open.
Thank you. Will proponents from hub institutions be penalized in the review process, and if so, in what way?
Can you repeat that question?
Will proponents from the hub institutions be penalized in the review process, and if so, in what way?
It depends on what you mean by hub institutions. So we do want to maintain a geographic diversity within the entire portfolio, so you can see some of the spoke awardees in slide, let's see, it's the map slide that I showed earlier. So we are trying to, I think it's slide 9, so we are trying to make sure that we are able to reach other states as well as part of the review process. But of course, review the review process will also be taking into all accounts intellectual merit, education, and many different facets.
So will there be any explicit guidance given to reviewers regarding geography?
No, the geographic balancing is not in the review process. It's in the internal sort of NSF management portfolio balancing of our awards portfolio. So they will not look at geography in the review process.
Thank you. Our next question is from Kevin Smith. Sir, your line's open.
Thank you. I understand an FAQ for this solicitation will be made available by NSF. I wanted to get a sense of when we might be able to see that.
I think one of the sort of leading bits of information into the FAQ are the questions that are being asked during the webinar and the questions that we collect. So it does take a while since it's an official document for NSF to clear that information, so it will likely not be for at least a month or two.
Thank you.
Once again, for further questions, please press star followed by the number 1. Again, with any questions from the phone line, please press star followed by the number 1. One moment, please, for another question. William French, your line's open. You may ask your question.
Hi, I'm wondering if the NSF is looking for a certain balance between small and medium-sized awards.
So this is a very good question. So at this point, because we haven't run a small, medium-sized solicitation before, we don't know what the desire from the community is. We're not looking for a specific balance right now. We're really looking at the interest rate of the community, and we'll be able to, you know, in future solicitations articulate that more clearly, but it's still an experiment as of this current solicitation.
Thank you.
And thank you. Our next question is from Greg Monaco. Sir, your line's open.
Thank you. Is it possible for you to distinguish between spokes and spoke projects? Is that relevant here, particularly in the case of conflicts? If there was a spoke that perhaps wasn't funded in the last round, how does that figure in? Because I thought there were some things that weren't, you know, some things were not funded. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I understand your question. So the word spoke is sort of a, has double meaning. We refer to spokes in this particular call as the projects that are being funded under the solicitation, but the hubs have many priority areas, right, within the hubs that are not necessarily funded by NSF, because the hubs go out and they get funding from other foundations or other federal agencies, and they get funding from all sorts to participate in some priority areas, and they often get called spokes as well. I think your question is for conflicts of interest, what does it mean? So we do have a set of conflict rules on people who are at NSF-funded spoke programs. Those are explicit conflicts. So if you are working with somebody within a funded NSF spoke, There are definitely conflicts of interest there, and there are different levels depending on where your co-PIs or senior personnel and what the nature of your interaction with that spoke is. If you're on a spoke that's not NSF funded, that's just something that the hubs are working on potentially with other agencies, there could be a conflict, but we don't have any strong explicit rules for that. And in those cases, it's the best thing to do is come talk to me to see if that creates an actual conflict here for NSF purposes. So does that help answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Kendall Nygaard. Your line's open.
Yeah, so the question we had was in terms of the thing you had just mentioned about the geographic diversity, and what we were wondering is whether the not just the proposer location, the PI location, but also locations of partnering institutions or COI locations are considered in that, or if it's really just the prime institution that's considered and figure out whether something adds diversity for your box.
I think all of those will become aspects of the considerations for geographic diversity. But the PI location is pretty important given that's where a lot of the funding would go to and where the funding would actually go. So when we think about diversity, it's also the fairness of where our NSF funding is going to in this regional program. So certainly it is important where all the partners are, but where the dollars flow, NSF funding flows, is also important.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from Doug Drury. Your line's open.
Thank you. I was wondering if the proposing institution had to be affiliated with the hub in its region or if it was okay to be affiliated with a hub in another region.
Great. So a lot of people have been asking this question. I'm really glad you brought it up. So if your proposing institution, say, is sitting in the south, in one of the states that's part of the southern region, this sort of the first impulse would be, you know, for you to reach out to the south hub. However, you know, hubs have different priority areas, and if they are topic area, makes sense to go reach out to another hub. For example, the West Hub is very interested in water. If you're working on a water project and that's, you know, not being worked on by the hub in your region, you should certainly feel free to reach out to the appropriate hub. So there's no hard rule saying that you have to be in the region of your geographic region of your hub, but if you are to move to another region, you should justify why it's another region, because, you know, one of the reasons we made this regional program was to make it easy for people to meet face-to-face and have those kind of interactions. Now, topically, you know, there may be reasons why you want to go to another region, but you should justify that within the proposal.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is Yalhuma Reddy. Your line's open.
Okay, my question is, for a small project, do we need more than one institution?
While it's not required, you can read through the solicitation that partnerships is a really important part of this program. And so whether that partnership is as a subawardee or as a collaborative proposal or as just a letter of collaboration, that's really up to the proposal itself, and different kinds of projects might merit different levels of collaboration. But it is not meant to be, you know, if there's no other institution involved in your proposal, then it's likely not a good fit for the solicitation.
Okay. Next is, do we need to complete small project, small grant, before we go to the medium?
No, you do not have to. So the small is not a planning grant. It's not anything. The small is literally a smaller level of support for a smaller spoke project. So you do not have to complete a small to go to a medium.
Okay. What do you mean by the tangible results? What type of results you are expecting for medium?
Well, you can read in the solicitation. We've given some examples. For example, if you were to propose some sort of, big data platform to support a research area, you know, biology or energy or something like that, you know, your tangible results could be the platform, but also the actual research that platform is supposed to support, right? So if you have something that says, I'm going to create a platform that supports genomic research, well, who are the researchers that are going to use your platform? What are the research that they're going to conduct? What is the outcome that you expect from that? So tangible results.
That means we have to do some publications?
What are the research results, right?
Yeah, that helps. Some publications helps.
Publications that are outcome of this project. You know, what are the topics?
Yeah, the relevant topics, if we have some publications, we can apply for media, correct?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
If we have publications in that area, can we apply for the medium?
It's not about your current publications. It's about what you would, at the end of this project, be able to produce.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Vanu Karapati, your line's open.
Hi, Fen. You've mentioned that FFRDCs can participate as sub-awardees in the grant?
With some limitations. So there's certain things that we can't fund for FFRDCs. I think those rules might be better discussed with me, but you can find them in our PAPPG document, the NSF document number one. I think it's usually 17-001, about the ways that we can fund FFRDCs.
Okay. Follow-on question is there a limit to number of sports solicitations that a single FFRDC can be on? Can we be on multiple solicitations?
Multiple proposals, you mean? Yes,
yeah,
there is a limit if you are the lead. So the way that it works is there are some proposals that are collaborative,
mm-hmm.
where it's multiple institutions, but there's one institution that's deemed the lead of that. So you can be the lead on your institution can be the lead on only one proposal. Do this entire solicitation, and that's combined across medium and small, so either one small or one medium proposal as the lead. However, you can be the non-lead collaborating institution in as many as you want. However, PIs can only be PI or co-PI in one proposal.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Paul Tuttle. Your line's open.
Hi. We were wondering exactly what is due on June 19th? Is it an actual letter of commitment from a written letter of commitment on their letterhead from a BD hub, or is it the request has to be made by then? What exactly needs to be done by the 19th?
So there's nothing due to NSF on June 19th. June 19th, so the hubs have opened up various portals. It's an online form. And that form asks you what you want from the hub, what's the general idea for your topic area, so what's the domain, what's the theme, what do you want from the hub, because the hub has to produce a letter of collaboration to each of your proposals that they signed off basically on you know, working with you. So they need to know how you want them to work with them, what your topic is. So that's what's due on June 19th. The hub needs you to be able to submit that form with that information to them by that deadline so they can start working on the letters of collaboration. And that's really just like a one-pager. That's not a full proposal. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Abdullah Maureen, your line's open.
Thank you very much. My question is, will the review process be independent for the individual hubs?
No, it will not be. The review process is usually paneled by topic area, and that's because a lot of the domain areas need specific expertise to get the best evaluation. And then we do a balancing that best balances geography as well as the balances between the four regions using the reviews based on topic area.
Okay, and one last question. Say the priority areas set by the hubs and the NSF priority areas, are they treated equally, or is there any more prioritization for the hub areas?
If you're not in a hub priority area, you're expected to talk with the hubs and sort of justify, even if it's a sort of a topic that no hub is really considered at this point. You need to go into discussion with the hubs, because the hubs themselves can also change their priority areas and augment them and be dynamic. I'm not quite sure what your question is, but there's no prioritization. There are NSF areas of emphasis, they're an area of emphasis, so we expect proposals from other areas as well, in addition to some of our areas of emphasis.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Amy Andrade. Your line's open.
Yes, my question was around the hubs. So in looking at what was currently funded in the past year, our hub, which is the South Hub, has other things around that. So as long as we're addressing that particular spoke in that hub, it will qualify for this solicitation?
So you should reach out to your hub to see what their priority areas are, even if they have priority areas that we have not funded.
Okay.
We have working groups, and so they are involved in a lot of different topics. We only funded a small handful of them.
So as long as it's one of their priorities, which they've stated on their website, then it should be fine. And I'm speaking with them next week, but I just wanted to make sure.
Right. And it could even be fine if it's not listed on that list. They may be working on.
Okay. Excellent.
Right.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is Kevin Smith. Your line's open.
Thank you. I just want to be very clear about letters of collaboration, and so I just want to give an example that, Fenn, that you can react to. So if there is a project that is being put together to respond to the solicitation, the lead institution is in the Western Hub. Does the letter of collaboration need to come from the Western Hub, or if there's better alignment of the project, let's say, with the Northeast, that the letter of collaboration should come from the Northeast Hub?
So that you are not mandated to be in the region that your institution sits. If there's a justification, basically based on expertise or topic area or some sort of alignment, then you're allowed to be sort of your spoke, if it's awarded, is allowed to be part of another hub. Another reason. However, you know, because we do want people to have face-to-face contact, realize if you're flying back and forth to all hands and things like that, the extra distance might, you might want to consider how strong that alignment is.
Right.
There's no real ding to your proposal if there's a justification why you're aligned to another hub.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any more questions?
Next question is from Rebecca Hirsch. Your line's open.
Hi, Fenn. Actually, I'm just going to follow up on the question that was just stated because I'm not sure it is exactly the answer that I thought I was going to get, which is if we're going to collaborate with a hub outside of our current hub, do we have to ask for the letter of collaboration from that hub? So if I'm in the South but my project aligns better with the Northeast, do I need to get to apply for that letter of collaboration on the 19th from the Northeast? And the subsequent question is, it is my understanding that they will be selecting from among the people that apply for requests for collaboration, that not everyone is guaranteed to get a letter of collaboration.
So, you know, this is a good, if you're participating with the South Hub, so this is a rather complicated question. So if you're already working with the South Hub and you are effectively a part of that South Hub, but you also want to work with the Northeast, you can get an additional letter of collaboration.
No, we're not working yet.
Okay.
We're just brand new.
So I mean, the question really is every single spoke proposal has to have a letter of collaboration with some hub. Okay. There has to be a letter of collaboration, otherwise that proposal is returned without review.
Right.
Now, the question people have asked is, does it have to be the hub in your region? Right? It does not have to be the hub in your region, but if it's not, you should justify why it's in a different region, why you sitting in the South is actually part of the Northeast.
Right, but I've requested that from the Northeast, if that fits better. Then the second part of my question, now I think I understand it better, is it true that not all the requests for collaboration will receive that letter?
Right, because you may request something that the Northeast Hub isn't able to provide. You may request that you need disk time or disk storage or compute time the Northeast Hub doesn't have the ability to provide. My belief is that the hubs, that, or it's on a topic not particularly of interest mm-hmm. to them or any number of things. The hubs have the choice of what they want to give letters of collaboration to, right? I think However, it is, from my understanding, a dialogue, right? If you're requesting something that they can't provide, I believe that they'll reach out to you and tell you why or what the reasons are, and potentially if you realize you don't actually need that from the hub, but you can need something else, I think it's a dialogue that you can have with the hub.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Autumn Johnson. Your line's open.
Hi, thank you. As I understand it, you can only have a proposal from one organization. There are other researchers outside of our scope at our university working on a proposal, and so I don't think we're eligible this year. I'm wondering if you anticipate future solicitations in coming years.
Of course, we can't say whether we're going to be able to have a future solicitation because, the federal funding cycle is only sort of year by year. But we do intend this to be a continuing program in the future.
Okay. It is correct, though, that you only can have one proposal per university. Is that accurate?
As the lead.
As the lead. Okay. Thank you.
You can be a collaborator in a collaborative proposal. And you can also be a senior person on a proposal from another institution.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Marshall Ma. Your line's open.
Hello. I just came back from the NSF Grants Conference earlier this week, and I want to know, does this program allow us to apply core funding from the EBSCO program? We know there are some dynamic money, and then there's a core funding mechanism through the EBSCO program.
If there is a proposal that is deemed sort of meritorious, usually the EBSCOR program is there's an internal process to ask for EBSCOR funding. There's a lot of qualifications on whether a proposal could actually be eligible for EBSCOR funding. Generally, it's got to be an EBSCOR state. It's got to be a PI that's never received NSF funding before, right? And so if we have a proposal that we find meritorious and that it is something we want to pursue as an award, we certainly look for EBSCOR funding when appropriate.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from John Helley. Your line's open. John Helley, your line's reopened. Do you have another
thank
question?
You. Sorry. In your earlier presentation, you mentioned that there was an issue around the need for hub support from a proponent. So is the need for hub support considered a plus or a minus?
I believe if you look at the merit review criteria, you have to explain why your spoke is working with a hub, right? So the need for hub support in that sense is a plus. It's in fact part of the review criteria. Because if this is a proposal that we could fund separately without it being a part of a hub and spokes network, then it's more appropriate probably from to be a award or a proposal to another one of our programs. So there needs to be justification why this project would fit well within this hub and spokes network.
Okay. My understanding for our hub is that they don't have any resources. So What kind of resources do you envision being available from the hubs?
I think the resources are organizational. It's about using the hub network. It's not necessarily about funding resources, right, or even infrastructure, though there are some limitations. It's about being able to help you connect with end users, being able to help you connect with other organizations to further your particular project.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Esther Erkins. Your line's open.
Hi. Sorry, I'm not Esther. I'm a colleague of HAIR. One question we have, we have already an institute that is leading a SPOC implementation from the earlier funded grant. So would this same institute be eligible to apply for a new SPOC focusing on different types of data?
I'm sorry, are you saying that you have your institutionally currently has a spoke?
Yes. So my question is, there is already an implemented spoke, yeah. So can we apply for another one?
I think, it depends on your proposal, your topic, how meritorious it is, because, how strong it is, because then we have to balance that out with our need for diversity both in geography and in institutions. So it's very hard to answer. I mean, there's no limitation on you applying this time, but there is a balance for our need to have our portfolio be regionally and institutionally diverse, along with the intellectual merit and broader impacts of any proposal.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Lorraine Wong. Your line's open.
Hi, yes, this is a follow-up to a previous question. I guess I was looking for more concrete examples of what sort of collaborative support that hubs provide. You mentioned some organizational stuff. Can you elaborate on any other sort of support that you've seen that hubs can provide?
Yeah, so some hubs actually do have access to, if not through the hubs itself, access to resources where you can apply for more resources. The hubs actually do have access to, for example, Microsoft Azure credits. So they have awards for about $3 million over the course of 3 years to allow projects underneath that fall underneath the purview of the hubs to actually apply and get Azure cloud time. And I know they're working on resources like that as well. So in addition to organizational, there are some physical infrastructure available and different kinds of infrastructure that are both available now and coming online. Does that help your answer your question?
Somewhat. Thank you.
Thank you. Yoloma, already your line's reopened. You may ask a question.
Yeah, once we register in the hub, I think, do we need any supporting letter from the hub or directly we can apply for the grant? I think partially you answered the question before.
Yeah. So you need a letter of collaboration from the hub with your proposal. If your proposal does not have a letter of collaboration from at least one hub, it will be returned without review.
With the same hub, just we are in the southern hub. So once we register with them, then do we need any letter?
No, there's no registration. You have to. There is a process via an online a form that you have to submit to the hubs. They have to, in response, if they find that your project is something that they want to collaborate with you on, they will give you a letter of collaboration, and that has to be put in with the proposal under supplemental docs.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is Christine Kirkpatrick. Your line's open.
Hi, everyone, and hi, Fen. I hope it's okay. I don't have a question as much as a comment. I know we've gotten a couple questions so far about, and I should say I'm Deputy Director at the West Big Data Innovation Hub here at SDSC, representing SDSC. We've had a couple questions about what can the hub provide, and I just wanted to let people know, especially in the West, that when you fill out the request for a letter of collaboration, a portion of the form has some check boxes next to the sort of things that we can help you do. And I think Fen has described them, but some examples are assistance in identifying potential partners, facilitating access to data sets, hub leadership participation in advisory boards, co-hosting or co-locating workshops, and coordinated community outreach and dissemination of information, ... So there are some things that we have defined as examples of things that you could write into your proposal how you're going to work with us. There's no need to, propose what those might be beyond what we've outlined. If there are things that we have missed, we're certainly interested, and there's a place on the form for you to let us know. I hope that's helpful.
Thank you so much, Christine. So hopefully that will give you some more explicit examples of the ways that you can collaborate with the hub.
Yep, we have one more question from Kendall Nygaard. Your line's reopened.
Yeah, so just to follow up on something you said a moment ago about other institution people being only senior people, was that did I mishear that, or was that what you were intending to say, that secondary institution subawardees cannot be co-eyes on this proposal?
I'm sorry. So you can be PI or co-PI on only one proposal.
Or if it's so, like if we have a subawardee on it, so if we collaborate with another institution and we do a subaward to them, typically we can put the subawardee, one of the people from the subawardee institution, as a co-I on our proposal. You had said the only senior person, so I just want to make sure that wasn't, or make sure I wasn't misunderstanding that.
Anything if that person, right? If that person is already a PI on a proposal, they cannot be a co-PI in your proposal.
Right, but as long as they're not, if they've never done, they're not doing a spoke this time themselves at their institution, they could be a co-PI on our proposal.
That's correct. People can be co-PIs. Co-PIs are allowed. Is that the question?
Right, and from other institutions. That's what I thought I heard you say.
Yes. So the only limitation is that we don't want one person submitting two proposals as PI or co-PI.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying.
But they can be on multiple proposals if they're a senior personnel.
Okay.
Are there any more questions?
Yeah, we have another one. It is from Deborah Galwood. Your line's open.
Hi, thank you. I have a question. I'm in the Northeast, and I'm wondering how I could get information about projects that are going on in my area, in New Jersey in particular.
So you can, there are two ways. You can go to the Northeast Big Data Hub website, and if you search for Northeast Big Data Hub, and especially with Columbia, you will be able to find a listing of all of the different hubs and spokes projects, spokes projects within the Northeast. The other way is you can also just search for Big Data Northeast Big Data Spokes on the NSF Award database. This is also searchable by Google. That actually will give you all the NSF-funded projects with an abstract for each project.
And is there some way, if there was something applicable in my community or environment, is there a way I could get my community involved or bring the attention of the grantees to my area?
So how can you give me an example? I'm not quite sure what you're asking.
Well, for instance, water quality issues. If there was a grant in the region that was not considering the waterways in my neighborhood, could I, you know, tell them to, you know, that we were interested in participating or something, or is it something?
I think if you're not, so if you want to get involved in the hubs, but not necessarily as a proposer for the spoke, I think the best way of getting involved is to reach out. I think there's a point of contact on that webpage. And I believe it just goes to some of the senior leadership within that hub. And they're very active in responding to different organizations that are interested in participating with the hub as a partner, not necessarily lead on a proposal. I would also say that the West Hub is, I just went to the West Hub All Hands, and there's quite a bit of interest there on water and data science. So if that's of particular interest to you, you can also consider talking to the West Hub.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
One moment. We do have another question from John Helley. Your line's open.
Thank you. The language that you've been using in some of these descriptions refers to subawards a lot. I'm under the impression that collaborative proposals are allowed in this solicitation. Is that true?
That is true. The explicit language about subawards is that certain institutions, for example, for-profits and FFRDCs, which are not allowed to be a collaborative or just submit a proposal themselves, but they are allowed to participate as subawardees.
Right, and the other instructions indicate that the lead institution has to be the postdoctoral mentoring responsible party. Is that a hard requirement? In other words, could an institution other than the PI's institution be responsible for the postdoctoral training?
So in a collaborative proposal?
Correct.
It can be. The postdoc is at the other institution. Then the other institution could be responsible for that postdoc.
Okay, so I just want to be clear that the instructions indicate that the lead institution has to be the PI's institution. I mean, the lead institution has to be the one responsible for the postdoctoral mentoring. So explicitly, that is not a requirement.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you. At this time, I'm seeing no further questions.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for joining this webinar. I'm glad I was able to answer some of your questions, and I'm really happy to see the diversity of questions that people have raised. So we hope to incorporate these within the FAQ that should be coming out in a couple of months, hopefully. And then you'll be able to get the transcripts of this particular webinar immediately online, and we'll be uploading the slides as soon as possible. If you have any further questions, please give me a phone call or an email, and I'll try to answer them as soon as possible. And also, if you have any questions about the hubs themselves and how you might interact with them, please take a look at the link that we've provided in the transcript and the slides to the location for information on that June 19th deadline. So seeing no further questions, thank you, everybody, for joining.
And thank you. This does conclude today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines, and thank you for your participation.